I walk through the small, crowded living room, lightly touching the sheets that protect the furniture. Framed pictures of the owner's family line the walls in ornate gold, all taken from a time when posed studio photography was the only way to go. "We can find you something else," Kelly says, her voice hesitant. She's been handling me with kid gloves since the moment we hugged at the airport. I'd asked her to come alone, not yet ready for the bombardment that inevitably comes with my family. "No, I like it. It's cozy." And I do. Nothing in this space reminds me of Nashville or the world I've been a part of for the last 4 years. There's no flash, no modern starkness. Everything, dated as it is, feels warm and comfortable. Plus, it's private, a decent distance from my parents' place, and tucked in a neighborhood where the median age is likely 65. The anonymity I'm searching for actually feels possible here.
"They were only willing to do a 6-month lease. I asked for the 3 you wanted."
I brush her off with a wave of my hand. 6 is fine. My accountant will send a check this week." She nods and walks over to a solid structure covered in dingy white cotton. She pulls up the cloth to reveal an ancient-looking piano stained a dark walnut color.
"I'll have a tuning company come in if you want to use this while you're here."
She slides back the keyboard cover and touches one of the ivory notes. A crisp, flat sound radiates in the air, and it grates against my nerves.
"I'll think about it."
I turn my back to her and walk toward the kitchen, eager to leave the now suffocating space and the reminder that nothing in my life makes sense anymore. What's worse is that Kelly can sense it. I see it in her eyes, in every careful word choice she makes. Up until now, I'd managed to convince my family that I was good, thrilled even, with my new life. They'd come visit, and we'd spend a week sightseeing while I rambled on about concerts and celebrities. I'd make excuses for missing Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they'd protest but promise they were happy if I was happy. What is it about coming home that makes all the masks disappear? There's no use in even trying to fake it now.
"Caleb and I would love to have you over for dinner tonight," she says,
optimism flowing through the invitation as she follows me to the tight opening that leads to a very small galley kitchen. The countertops are formica, the appliances a cheap white plastic. Even more shocking, there isn't a stainless steel accessory to be seen, or one that was manufactured after the turn of the century, for that matter. Kelly scoots closer.
"We could all catch up and, you know, reminisce about old times when you'd spend half your week eating all my groceries and arguing with your brother."
She offers a sincere smile that feels both sad and hopeful. I squeeze her hand, hoping it will take the sting out of my rejection. "Thanks, really, but I'd like to get settled. We're going to get lots of family time over the next few days." The wedding rehearsal is tomorrow night, and according to Kelly, Cassie's wedding is going to be massive. Over 300 guests have already RSVP'd, but thankfully most of them are from her fiancé's side, which is a relief. The last thing I want is to see hundreds of people who think they know me, or worse, want to talk about my failing career. "I do appreciate the offer, though. And the house, Kelly. It's a big weight off me." She smiles at my gratitude.
"You're welcome. Oh, before I forget."
Her eyes brighten and she reaches in her purse to pull out a folded piece of paper.
"Cassie asked me to give you this."
I nearly cringe when I take the paper. Knowing my sister, it's likely filled with fitting demands and myriad appointments I have no intention of going to. But instead of a list, there's a quick line of delicate cursive that brings a warm wave of relief to my chest.
"Your being here is even better than snuggles and lullabies. Thank you. XOXO, your baby sis."
I swallow, ignoring the sting, and tuck the folded sheet in my back pocket. Kelly's eyes have filled as well, and I can tell there's so much she wants to say to me that it's crowding the space between us. She opens her mouth, but I don't give her time to speak. "I'll grab my bags from the car," I say a bit too eagerly, "and let you get on home before traffic picks up." She nods, pressing her lips together. I'm grateful. I don't want a heart-to-heart. Not today. Just breathing and walking are about all I can stomach.